The media has such an important and influential role in the U.S. that some experts believe the function of the media, especially visual media, is the most important factor in forming public opinion and leading it to certain directions. Therefore, the centers of power and wealth in America try to hold and control this important and influential tool. And by using multi-layered advertising methods, they execute and implement their purposes and plans in the society. The media was taken advantage of for starting the Middle East wars, and through extensive coverage of Colin Powell's fabricated statements in the media, the people's minds were gradually prepared to attack Iraq and Afghanistan.
Colin Powell, he was Secretary of State of the United States. He went to the United Nations and he lied through his teeth to the whole world and saying they have evidence that they had Saddam have some nuclear installations. He had chemical weapons, he had biological weapons, he had weapon systems and all these things. And he lied about everything. Every time he opened his mouth at the United Nations, at the Security Council, he lied. He lied to the people. And then you have the media groups like Fox News and some right-wing analysts in the United States who took that ball and ran with it in order to convince the world and to convince the American public, the internal American public, that the threat is coming from Iraq. And then they had to go to Afghanistan, I think. They went to Afghanistan, and then they failed, and they are still failing in Afghanistan. But unfortunately, they are trying also to divert attention from their failures in Iraq and in Afghanistan into picking a fight with Iran and about the Iranian nuclear issue and the nuclear reactors in Iran. But still, the media is still playing in the hands of the politicians of the right wing of the United States.
You look at the history, the United States supported Saddam Hussein against who was then our enemy, Iran. And then most Americans have no idea about the rest of the story, about how the fact that there's a Islamist regime in Iran is a consequence of the Shah, is a consequence of the United States and the CIA helping overthrow Mohammad Mossadegh back in 1950-51. So, right, we're reaping what we've sown, but our memory is so short and our media doesn't do a good job of reminding us of this.
People are broke, they're not consuming, and therefore it doesn't make sense to spend lavish amounts of money for advertising in newspapers. So the print media has gone down the tubes. And in the case of the major media networks, you've got a foreign media cartel called the News Corporation. It's a British-Australian media cartel under Rupert Murdoch, which now owns the Wall Street Journal, Fox TV, and the New York Post. And so we used to have cities where in any medium to large size city, there would be three or four TV networks, at least two daily newspapers. And now it's been streamlined down to a handful of big media cartels. Those cartels are part of the very establishment that has decided to maintain these endless war policies.
Behind the scenes of U.S. media activities are wealthy figures and economic powers. So it can be said that the control of U.S. mass media is in the hands of known media emperors. It is they who determine what advertising policy should be followed by the media at any time. This is why in the U.S. media outlets we never see serious criticism of Israel, nor do we see any serious support for Palestine.
It's a money game in the United States. It is not really media and politics. Politics have nothing to do with the American media. If an issue would hurt a television station, they are not going to carry the message. And it happened between certain major television outlets who wanted to broadcast a film, something favorable of something the American mainstream does not like to see, people, the local stations did not carry that signal. They put some, totally something else because they did not want that message to be on their television because of financial pressures from the Israeli lobby, from the right-wing lobby, from the Republicans, threatening them, if you do not, if you do allow this on your screens, we are not going to give you advertisements.
If you want to sell your newspaper or want to have your radio station be successful, you got to be careful what you put in it or on it. Otherwise, people won't patronize your outlet, which is why so many newspapers never talk about Palestine or Gaza, except some little snippet in which Israel is defending itself against these murdering terrorists.
The dependence of the media on big industrial and commercial companies of the U.S. is a widespread phenomenon in this country. Famous U.S. cartels are usually the owners of several media organizations or their financial supporters. The survival of the mass media mainly depends on the financial support of these giant companies. This factor turns into a means of influence and control over the media by American industries. Nowadays, well-known media names like CNN, NBC, Fox, and dozens of others are associated with names of famous companies such as General Motors, Westinghouse, and more.
General Electric, a major military industrial complex corporation, controls NBC, CNBC, MSNBC, and all those affiliates. And so if you look at who controls that media, it's a handful of people, and they're very tightly connected. More and more Americans are realizing that the corporate media is actually not representing the truth, does not tell the whole story. And there are some issues that are pretty much taboo in this country that you can't even talk about in the media. I think Israel is one of those issues.
This is a tragedy which is unfolding, and I have to blame the media. You and I are both part of the alternative media, but the corporate media is part of the very same imperial establishment that I'm talking about. What all one has to do is look at who owns these media, whether it's, you know, the Fox conglomerate, or which includes now the Wall Street Journal, the Times of London. The English-speaking press is very controlled, probably as controlled as anything from the Soviet era.
You see, the same words that the Pentagon wants to use for the public presentation, for its propaganda, the corporate media echoes it. Why do they echo it? Because they're war contractors themselves. Who owns NBC? Who owns ABC? Who owns CBS? Who owns all of these companies? They're all linked in one way or the other to the military companies. They all make a great deal of money. They also want to have access. They want to go be able to go to the Pentagon and get an interview, or go to the White House and get an interview. They don't want to be seen as disloyal or subversive in any way. So they self-censor.
Right, NBC is owned by General Electric. Right, GE is one of the biggest, it's a military contractor as well as all the other things they do. CBS is owned by Westinghouse, which also is, you know, a huge multinational corporation that also has a big finger in the military complex pie. Right, so even our media is in a way part of the military industrial complex. And most Americans don't take that into account, but you have to take it into account to understand why so much emphasis is placed on war and so little criticism.
The interesting point of the case is that the owners of the American industry and big companies play a key role in the war. There is a steady relationship between the military industry and other industries in America. This is because industrial growth in the American economy is usually achieved by starting a war. A boom in the military industry helps flourish other industries as well. So it is obvious that the owners of major U.S. industries are strict advocates of pro-war policies. And in many cases, American pro-war politicians are selected from amongst military industry owners. Thus, it is only natural that the U.S. media, so heavily dependent on military industries, propagates in favor of the war and promotes America's warmongering policies.
The fact is that when we look at the buildup to the Iraq War, every news organization out there, including MSNBC, was on board to be the first ones to get the best coverage and to have the cool night vision cameras, and they wanted to see the war through different angles, and no one stopped to say, should we be going to war?
Well, I think one of the problems we've had is a media that really is sensationalist, that pushes war, that promotes war, that has put out this idea that the only way to be patriotic is to support the troops, and has really sidelined the anti-war movement, treated us as fringe, treated us as anti-American, even treated us as close to terrorists. So I think we've had a very difficult time getting our peace message across since 9/11 because the media has been so pro-war.
Most of the media thinks that war is good business. When there's war, there's more people watching the news, so they get more money from advertisers because, you know, that's higher ratings. And so this is part of our sickness, is that we've got this mind that of the excitement and the, you know, if it bleeds, it leads.
The calculated broadcast of distracting news from various U.S. television channels while applying psychological warfare methods makes sure that the American people do not have a right or access to the true realities of the U.S. wars in the Middle East. They see the war on television, which is in the hands of economic powers that reverse the realities of war and conceal most of its harsh and inhumane scenes. By doing so, they still try to introduce these two devastating wars as an attempt for freedom and establishment of democracy in the region.
What struck me was that the people in the United States had no idea what was going on there, had no idea the level of the resistance, you know, how much the Iraqi people were fighting back, how much the Iraqi people hated us being there.
It's unfortunate because Americans think that they're well informed. They're not. The bias is overwhelmingly controlled by Wall Street and the military-industrial complex, and right now it's very pro-Obama.
Then the country doesn't know how many people there really are against the war, and B, it doesn't even do credit to the incredible creativity and energy that people give to the anti-war movement and to the peace movement. But if people don't see it, if a protest falls in the street and no media is there to cover it, did it even happen?
The only reason that there's not massive opposition to the Afghanistan war is that the U.S. government is trying to make it a non-issue. In other words, not a big deal in the minds of the American people. It's rarely on the front page of the newspapers. It's not talked about on the nightly news. They might talk about the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico or unemployment. Anything but Afghanistan.
I think images of war can be unpleasant to people. So it's easier to put it out of mind. Clearly, there have been times when the wars have been center stage in the United States over the past several years. But often between major events or serious military operations, the American people tend to forget that the wars are going on. If you watch the evening news in the United States, it's pretty incredible. You're right, that you will not see very much about the fact that American soldiers are committed in two major conflicts.
Because people just aren't that interested in two wars, people don't read the news about the wars that much. They're just not interested because they just don't care. They can go to Walmart, they can go to the mall, they can live their lives as if there are no wars taking place. It's very sad and it's disturbing.
When the realities of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan are revealed through independent media organizations of the world, or when the scale of violence and crime is so broad that it cannot be denied, the American media put censorship and the absolute elimination of anti-war images on their agenda, trampling upon all mottos of freedom of expression.
You'll never see a dead U.S. soldier on television in the United States. And you'll never see it because the people will be disgusted by it. The people will reject, and the people will reject the wars. So it's actively kept. That's lying about the war, not showing the human cost, not showing the dead civilians, not showing the dead soldiers, not showing video images of firefights and bombings. That's censoring. I mean, that's not telling the truth about the war.
They're concealing the fact of how many soldiers went AWOL. Thousands have gone AWOL. And to highlight the fact that I went, I spoke out, and I actually didn't go to jail, it would just open a floodgate that the military, that the administrations, you know, Washington and the media, they work hand in hand. It's just a floodgate that they don't want to open.
In this condition, the independent media are more influential and their responsibility is greater than before. These media have less news coverage and cannot operate as the giant dependent media do. But because of their large population and vast presence among all people, plus their efficient use of new internet facilities, they can easily be accessed by the majority of people worldwide. There are now many experts and intellectuals who have well understood the significance of the present condition and have involved themselves in the media battlefield to enlighten the American society.
The role of independent media is to do the best job they possibly can. You know, to work on those stories, even though some of them might not be as popular and might not get all the eyeballs on the internet as you know, more popular news. To continue to work on these things, to do our best possible job at exposing what the truth is.
There's a handful of journalists that do a good job, but I think it's few and far between, and discerning which one's which is very difficult. I mean, it's a immensely important role. The My Lai massacre, you know, changed a lot of perceptions about the Vietnam War. Abu Ghraib changed a lot of perceptions about the Iraq War. Without real pictures and, you know, real documentation of what's going on, you know, people don't know.
You have a number of independent radio shows, very few TV shows, and of course independent newspapers and websites. They become the instrument by which the opposition in America can grow. It may be presented as a free country with a free press, but it's a very controlled media.
In the meantime, some newly founded satellite channels, which are independent and have worldwide news coverage, have won the trust of the American people.
I'm not an authority on global media. I do know when I travel abroad that I prefer to read about events in foreign language papers, like I can read French. Or in London, or the Herald Tribune, you get better balanced media.
It's people getting organized, not counting on the corporate controlled media to provide accurate information, but developing our own media, not counting on elected officials to do the right thing, but counting on people to push elected officials to do the right thing.
I, on my computer, get about 5 to 6 different blogs coming into me, plus I can go to international media, whether it's Press TV, whether it's Al Jazeera, whether it's the Guardian, and you get a different wrinkle. But that said, it's the global media that is much more significant in providing factual information rather than the censorship of mainstream American media.
With these satellite channels, the news monopoly of company-affiliated U.S. media has been broken. In some cases, they are obliged to inform the American people of the unpleasant news of crimes in Iraq and Afghanistan committed by the U.S. But such cases are rare and are broadcast in a completely scattered fashion as to attract the least amount of audience.
The way I saw the video was I dropped my children off at school one morning, came home, sat down on my couch with a cup of coffee, and turned on the news, and there I was running across the screen with a child in my arms. So, and seeing it from a third person point of view was very eerie, very weird as well. Anger at first. I was very angry that here I was. It really did feel like it was thrown in my face again, slapped in my face, and something that I had been trying to forget. Something that I'm not proud of, as far as being a part of the system that did this.
Do you have to go to the internet to a specialist site to find out how many people got killed in Afghanistan on a given day? So the propaganda is driven towards, oh, everything is going fine, we're always winning, but it's a perpetual war.
Now, most Americans have realized that the independent and non-affiliated media are very few. None of the company-affiliated media financed by big cartels or huge military industries are unbiased in expressing the realities of war. Their support and biased propagation leads the American society towards chaos and illogicality, which cannot last in the long run.
If we're going to really have this democracy, if we're going to make this work, we need a media that's critical, that doesn't cheerlead, that doesn't say, well, when my country's at war, I want it to win. No. When your country's at war, you need to report on the war, not cheerlead for it. And that doesn't mean leaving your personal bias at home. That means reporting on the war, actually going there and reporting on it.
The media here are controlled by corporations who are making a lot of money on these wars, corporations that are making a lot of money extracting oil from these parts of the world. And the media are also dominated by very much pro-Israeli, we call them neoconservative, elements. If you look at what the Washington Post and the New York Times put out, it's almost laughable. They're not objective newspapers anymore. They're very much of the neoconservative strife. And they give every break to Israel. And their coverage of things like the incident in the Eastern Mediterranean where the Israelis boarded those ships, it's just laughable. Well, it would be laughable if it weren't so unfortunate and serious. We let ourselves be deceived, pushed around by a little country to which we give $3 billion a year of money that we sorely need to fund our own education, to fund our transportation, to fund the things that we need to do. I think if that becomes known, that there's a reasonable prospect that the American people will say, enough of this stuff. We want a just settlement in Palestine, and until the Israelis agree to negotiate that kind of settlement, no more money, no more money. And that would, you know, money speaks. And so I have a hope that that will happen. I don't think it's gonna happen this year, but I think it might happen in the next couple of years.
But unfortunately, the Obama administration has proceeded in the same warmongering direction as the former U.S. President Bush by supporting pro-war policies to strengthen the Wall Street masters. Despite the upbeat after President Obama's election, now the Americans have abandoned all hope and trust in his administration.
The United States is an empire, plain and simple. So it doesn't matter who the president is. They have a job to do. They're the figurehead of the empire. They're at the helm of U.S. imperialism. So the same policies of war and occupation are going to continue under President Obama, just like they did under Bush, because his job is to represent those same interests that Bush represented.
And the biggest sea change that I've witnessed in those 48 years in the body politic is the fact that we no longer have, in any real sense, a free media.